God is good
all the time.
I like that response. You know, it's so easy to say that God is good when things go my way, right? We rejoice this morning with the accident that happened to Jacob because it wasn't worse. But if it would have scuffed out his life, what would we say? Would we say God is good? Or would we say God? Why? You know, if that would have happened, God would still be good. There, circumstances doesn't change the fact that God is never good. He still is always good. Always was and always will be. That's a thought of something to share this morning. I shared this message at home and somehow I'm still battling with things. But as I observe people's lives, I work at a bulk food store, and I see a lot of people coming and going. And I often think, you know, every one of these people that I see, they have a story in their life. And I'm sure every one of them, if you get to talk to them, there are things that they're facing in their life that is called a battle. And when I look at my family and my siblings sometimes, and I see battles that they're going through, they're fighting. Maybe in Texas you don't have battles. Do you have battles in Texas? I think you understand what I'm talking about. Now, some of the battles that I might face might be completely different for you. You may be facing battles that I never face. But we're in this thing together. I'd like to read some verses here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want to read some verses here. It talks about King Jehoshaphat. I'm going to break in here in verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. Let me back up just a little bit. Here was the Assyrian army, I think, was coming to defeat him. Was it Assyrian army? No, it was a Moab. Or Moab and the Amorites were coming to set array or go into battle with him. And in verse 3 it says, he feared and set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our Father, art thou not God in heaven, and rulest not over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thy hand there is not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God, who dost drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and givest it unto the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil comes upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help us. And then it talks about those people that are coming. Let's drop down into verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord, and their little ones, and their wives, and their children. Verse 14, it talks about a man, that the Spirit of the Lord fell upon this man in the midst of the congregation. And this is what he said in verse 15. And he said, hearken, all you Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow ye shall go down against them. Behold, they come up. And so he gave them something to do. But what I want to notice this morning, and the title of the message this morning, just a simple message to draw our minds again about these battles. For the battle is God's. The battle is God's. So what in your mind, when you think of a battle, what causes a battle? Is it peace? Is that what causes battles? We think of fighting and wars that constantly go on. It's a conflict between two people, right, that often start the battle. Isn't the battles that I face often in my life today, isn't it the same when my will and God's will cross? Isn't that the battle? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to read a few verses there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is what it says. I'm going to break in here in verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imagination. What is the biggest nation in the world? Imagination. It's casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The mind. I believe the mind is often our battlefield. That's where we struggle with these battles. We have two eyes that we can see, and it filters into our mind. We have two ears that we hear. It filters into our mind. And then we can get so carried away with his imagination, and before you know it, we think things are true that are not even true. And it can create a battle, a stir within us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 13, it says, gird up your minds. Be sober and gird up your mind. And I believe often our battles start in our mind. It's where that conflict often goes on. So I'd like to have some response for you as you think of battles. What are some battles that you face today? Can you name some? You don't have any in Texas. Discouragement. Managing time. Why would that be a battle? And we could go on and on. And again, what might be a battle for me might not necessarily be your battle. But did you ever think about fear, the battle of fear, the unknown? What about relationship? Our brother stood up here this morning, talked about relationship. Can that be a battle between husband and wife? Family, brother, sister? What about the thing of just being yourself? Did you ever struggle with that? Just being who you are you okay with that? Lee, did you ever feel that way when you preach? Just be yourself and not somebody else. What about the battle of lust? It's real. What about the battle of health issues? And the list could go on and on. So the question this morning is, what am I doing with the battles that I face? What am I doing with that? I have a choice. I can do like King Jehoshaphat did. I can seek the Lord. I can proclaim a fast. And I can come to the congregation and I can say, brethren, I'm struggling with this battle. Would you gather around me and pray? And the family can get together and we can seek the Lord. All of us seek the Lord. That's a choice that we have. Or I can simply try to do it on my own. And often I think that's where we fail. And sometimes we may face a battle and we think, okay, I got a problem here. I'm a man. I can fix this because men are that way, right? We have all the answers. We know the problem to the whole thing, and so we can fix it. But I wonder sometimes if our battles repeat themselves so often is a simple fact that we try to do it on our own. We can for a while break that habit or whatever. But it seems eventually it'll come right around again. And I believe it's simply because we don't let go and let God fight the battle for us. I have that choice of fighting on my own, or I can simply turn it over to God and give it to God. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many battles were won in the Old Testament time without God being in them? Can you ever think of a time that happened? If you do, let me know. You remember the account of where the 12 spies went out to spy out the land of Canaan. You know the results of how they came back. 10 of them put out a false rumor, said, "We can't do it, we can't do it." 2 of them were saying, "Yes, we can. If God is with us, we can do it." God came down and He pronounced punishment on the children of Israel because of their complaining again. He told them for the 40 days that they spent spying out the land of Canaan, every year to a day is a punishment that they would wander around in the wilderness. 40 years they wandered around in the wilderness because of that. Do you know what they did right after that? "We're going to go to battle. We're going." Moses said, "No, you can't go. God is not going to be with you. We're going anyhow." And they did. They were utterly defeated. Why? Because God was not there. God was not there. Jonah. Jonah was on that. He was bound to run away from God. He was on that ship. The storm came. And the people on that ship, they were terrified. They knew what the problem was. Jonah told them. They knew it, right? You know what they did? It says, a man nevertheless, they rowed hard. They tried to fight this thing on their own. They knew what the problem was. And how many times am I the same way? I know that there's sin in my life, and I try ever so hard. I try to look good when I come to church. I try to say the right words, dress the right way, do the right things, and I'm only fighting against myself because I know there's something within me. In John chapter 15, in verse 5, Jesus was talking about the true vine, and He was talking about being connected to the vine. He calls us branches, abiding in Him. And then He makes His statement in the last part of verse 5. He says, "For without Me, ye can do nothing." Did you get that? Can you fight your battles on your own without giving them to Jesus, without giving them to God? "For without Me, ye can do nothing." Helpless creatures. But oh, sometimes we think we know so much better. Why is it so hard to let go and let God? Well, I think I stated earlier, sometimes we think that we have this thing figured out ourselves and we can do it on our own. But often in scriptures we read that the battle is not ours. The battle belongs to God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, we have another king. Very similar account. This king's name was, who was he? Hezekiah. And in verse 7, "Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than be with him." And then he says in verse 8, "With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves in the word of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Another reason we should give our battles to God, because God never lost a battle. Never in all of history, up to today, has God ever lost a battle. The devil lost the battle. And I've often wondered how that was when Jesus was crucified on the cross. I wonder how many demonic forces were around there when that was happening. God won that battle. When the veil in the temple was rent, when Jesus said, "It is finished," He gave up the ghost and He died. And when He was buried in the tomb and when He burst forth, even though they guarded Him, the devil knew He lost. He knew it. Because the Bible says, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Prince of Glory. He knew he was a loser. The devil lost. I believe this morning that God never intended for us to fight these battles alone. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 12 and verse 13, it talks about after Jesus was baptized, it says, immediately the Spirit drove Him to the wilderness. How long was He in the wilderness? 40 days and 40 nights He was there. And the battle was on. I believe the battle was real to Him. It says He was there with the wild beasts. But then it says the angels. The angels came and strengthened Him. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? And so in Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 16, It talks about, seeing then that we have a great high priest which is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of help. Jesus went the way before us. He knows how it feels to fight a battle. But He went through victoriously. And so for us today is the same. Give them to Jesus. Let them go. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18, it talks about putting on the Christian armor. Did you know when we put on this Christian armor, we put on truth and we put on righteousness, we put on faith, and the list can go on and on. You know what you're doing? You're putting on Jesus Christ. That's who you're putting on, because Jesus is righteous. Jesus is true. And today, that verse 5 in our Sunday school lesson just struck me. I think it was verse 5. It talks about God being a shield, the Word of God being a shield for us. Beautiful. I came across this recently, and I don't know that I ever noticed this before, but I want to read this in Mark chapter 6. This is right after, in verse 45, this is right after Jesus had fed the multitude. He was sending them away. He sent His disciples over to the other side. In verse 46, and when He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, and He alone on land. And He saw them. Jesus saw them rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. In about the fourth watch of the night, He came unto them, and this is what gripped me, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. How often in your battle, let me word it this way, every time that you are facing a battle, Jesus is watching you. He's there watching you, and He sees it. And here He comes. He's walking on the water right in the midst of what you think is your battle. And He's right there at waiting till you ask for help. But if you don't, I wonder how many times He walked right by because I didn't ask for help. Isn't that something? And when the disciples cried out, He came in the boat. He said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Give the battle to God." I came across this quote some time ago. It says this way, God is in control, but He does not expect you to lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. Often in the Bible we read, especially the children of Israel, God told them time and time again, give me the battle. The battle does not belong to you. Give it to me. But they still had something they must do. They still had something they had to do, right? In the account that we read this morning, they went forth the next morning and they went with singing. Have you ever helped fight your battles by just singing and praising God? Gideon, with those 300 men, they still had a responsibility to do. Even though God did a wonderful power there, they still had to go out and they still had to break those pitchers and let the light shine. The walls of Jericho. We were talking about Jonah. Not until they threw Jonah overboard. They still had to do their part to get rid of that sin. The walls of Jericho, the children of Israel still had to do their part. David, when he was faced with that great giant out there, that mountain that he was facing, you know, he still had a part to do. He still had to play his part. God won the battle, but he still had to do that, his part. And so the question for me this morning is, when I am tempted, or when I fight this battle of temptation, do I do my part and do I flee from whatever is attracting to me to drive that lust? Let me explain this way. This is embarrassing to say this, but I had a real habit of smoking when I was growing up. And it was to the place where it was getting me. Today, sometimes when I walk around the parking lot in front of the store, I find a cigarette laying there. Sometimes it's a pack with several in. You know, I could stand there and look at that, and I could be praying, oh God, don't let me reach down and light one of these up. You see? But isn't that often the way that we do? Perhaps, instead of doing my part and trashing it and leaving it and running away, we just like to dabble around with it a little bit. You know, Joseph, when he was confronted with Potiphar's wife, he could have said, you know, he could have started praying, said, God, deliver me from this hour of temptation. I can't take it anymore. But he could have remained in there. What would have happened? He could have continued to pray. Do you think it would be a different account than we read today? Daniel was another one. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And he stood true. So my question today is, when I go on my phone, do I look at sites? Because I know that it drives, it feeds my lust. And then after I'm done, I pray, oh God, don't let me ever do that again. And then, you know how it works. What about the business places I go? Do I enjoy going to business places because I know there is a woman in there that's attractive to me? She's immodestly dressed. And we could go on and on and on. But you see, when we are fighting the lust, especially the lust battle in our hearts, we have a part to play. We need to do our part and get away from it. Sometimes all I see is a battle. That's all I see. And it causes fear. But you know what God sees? He sees victory. When all I see is a mountain in front of me, God sees that mountain moved. When all I see is a cross, God sees the empty tomb. When all I see is the ashes, God sees the beauty. Brothers and sisters, the best way to fight our battles are on our knees. I'm reminded of a poem. I should have looked that up, or I have it at home somewhere, but it talks about children coming to their dad, bringing a broken toy to their dad, and asking dad to fix that broken toy. Well, it goes on to explain how often we do the same thing. We come to God with our broken things and we want Him to fix them now, not later, right? And then sometimes we stand there and we ask God, how soon are you going to get this done for me? And His reply is that you never let go. I can't fix it as long as you're still hanging on to it. Victory comes when we give God the battle and let go and surrender and trust in Him. Caleb was one of those spies that went out to spy out the land of Canaan. And this is what blesses me so with his testimony. In Joshua chapter 14 and verse 12, you can read it. Caleb came to Joshua and he said, look, he said, when Moses was still alive, I was 45 years old. I think it was, or 40. He said, I want this inheritance today. He said, today I am, 85 years old? And he said, I'm just as strong today as I was back then. That's a blessing. How many battles do you think Caleb fought up to this time? But he said, give me this mountain. Give it to me. Give me the battle. I'm going to go in the name of the Lord. Confidence. Faith in God. That blesses me. His strength was still there. And today, it's sad as I observe people going through battles because there's some that just throw up their hands. What's the use? I can't do it. It's too hard. God, you're not fair. God, how could you do that to me? And we just give up. And it's reality. There's a lot of older, middle-aged people that are just giving up. What is happening? But it's also a blessing to see when people are fighting battles with the help of God, and they come through victorious. That is a wonderful blessing. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, Paul writes to Timothy, he said, be thou a good soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes maybe this is a key for myself. What is a good soldier? Have you ever thought about what is a good soldier? Well, we're not involved in the military, so we don't really know all that, do we? We know some of it. My son went through boot camp. I was amazed at some of the things that happen in boot camp. They're training. They're told what to eat. They're told what to drink, what to wear. And everything is controlled. 5 minutes for a shower. Boom, you're done. 5 minutes. Not a half an hour. 5 minutes. No junk food. None whatsoever. If one of your group, you're in a group of about 30, if one of them messes up, the whole group is punished. He got roused out of bed about 1:30 in the morning and had to do 100 push-ups because somebody in his group messed up. What am I saying? A good soldier is told what to eat, what to wear, and he's very much controlled what he does, right? Today, I think one of the problems, even for me, is simply this. We do not like to be told what to do. And we miss it so many times. Let's kneel for a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you this morning.